Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Defied me shall be ashamed and disgraced. Those who wage war against me shall perish. I will find strength, find guidance, and I will triumph.
Welcome to Geekcast Radio. This is episode 58. And data mine, your request has been granted. There will be a numerous amount of Geekcast Radio episodes coming out this year. I am, of course, TFG1 Mike, along with a sniveling Steve Megatron.
Yes. Hello, sir. Yes, welcome. Welcome to Geekcast Radio.
Yes, because your Joker sounds like you're talking out of your nose.
Well, when I talk out my nose, this is how I sound.
We are here, and this time around, if you listen to MYR Weekly, folks, you got Kevin and Dan's perspective on 2014 film preview.
Which, with those two, not to knock them any, because they have different tastes in films than myself or TFG1, but they tend to be more broad with their films selection, whereas we're kind of limited.
We're very narrow-minded people.
We're very geek-centric, whereas they're more open to movies such as, like, you know, The Butler, Captain Phillips, stuff like that. Gravity is, like, their, you know, end-all, be-all sci-fi film, whereas to me, I don't find it that... I don't think that it's a...
Wrath of Darkness.
I would not even say that's a great film, but I would say the sci-fi aspect of it is better than Gravity. But regardless,
yes. So as Steve just said, Kevin and Dan over at MYR Weekly, they did an amazing job putting together their 2014 preview, and we wanted to do it our way on our show, on our flagship show. And this isn't going to be an in-depth thing. This is just going to be us kind of BSing back and forth about the movies that Steve and I are interested in seeing in the year that is 2014. For me, there's not a lot. I'm not one of these people that goes out to theaters every single week. If you have the money to do that, if you, you know, have the resources to do that, and in my case, the transportation to do that, that's all well and good. There's nothing wrong with that. But for me, I reserve going to the theater as a special occasion, because theaters are just...
They're difficult for you to get to sometimes.
They're difficult for me to get to sometimes, and you know, in five, you know, this June will be our 5th year anniversary on this network, on this show. And if you've been listening to us for the past 5 years here on Geekcast Radio,
I'm sorry.
You fuck with son of
a... Oh, just keep going.
Present son of a... You will know that I'm not one to deal with the public very well, because I get pissed at every single thing that goes on out there in the real world. You fucking jerk.
I see what I just did to him.
Yeah. So... Point is, I go to a very limited number of films. I will look at comingsoon.net, and for the entire year I've picked out, I actually made it a blog post on geekcastradio.com of the films that I was going to be interested in seeing in theaters. So far, two of them I haven't even had a chance to go see, and they're probably going to end up being, oh, I'll wait till Netflix or Redbox or whatever. So that's what we're here to do. We're here to give you guys our... films that we're most interested in
mostly coming out geeky films.
Yeah, it's mostly going to be geeky films. And let's face it, geek culture has basically broken the glass on the mainstream. I mean, there's at least, let's see, there's at least 10 different geek films coming out this year. At least. If not more. So, I will also say that my choices, 2014 to me, from what I've seen so far, this isn't me saying what I've seen from trailers or anything else, just what I've seen listed for animation, 2014, in my personal opinion, has zero animated films that I'm interested in. I just have no interest in seeing these things in the theaters. I may not even see them when they hit Redbox or Netflix, or I just don't. I was so stoked about the, Legends of Oz, because I thought it was going to be the sequel to Great and Powerful.
Yeah, I thought that as well, and then I saw what it was, and I was like...
And then I saw what it was, and I'm like, animated? Oh, seriously? And the style of animation, I don't really like it. This is going to be a very positive episode of Geekcaster. It's going to be Steve and I talking about what we are interested in. For me, last month in January, I probably won't see this until it hits Redbox, but I'm very interested to see Captain Kirk as Jack Ryan.
As am I, surprisingly. I've not followed any of the other Jack Ryan movies.
I've seen Clear and Present Danger with Harrison Ford, and I've seen the one that Ben Affleck did, Some of All Fears, and I like them. I thought they were, you know, fairly good movies. Is it one of Ben Affleck's best film roles? Probably not, but by no means isn't his worst.
I didn't actually know that was a Jack Ryan film.
Yeah, Some of All Fears is a Jack Ryan film.
I'll have to go back and watch that. This one, the only reason it has me enticed is because, one, I love action films. Two, you know, it's a new era of action stars, and Chris Pine is one of them. And since seeing him in Star Trek, and then the other movies he's done since or before, I've got grown an appreciation for his acting.
Yes. Yeah. All right, so there is that, and I'll tell you folks right now, this is probably going to cause a lot of people to comment and rage against me. I'm not mad about this. I'm just kind of indifferent. I grew up with the RoboCop movies. Don't get me wrong. I used to like them. I've gone back and watched them recently. I can't stand any of them. I just don't like them anymore. I don't know what it is. You know, take my geek cred away if you want, folks, but they're just not my thing. This new one, the best thing it has going for it is it has Nick Fury in it.
And Batman.
And Batman, yes.
And Commissioner Gordon.
Yes. Are you interested in the new RoboCop at all?
Actually, I am. I'm kind of curious what they're going to do different with it, because I know that some of it's going to be the same and some of it's going to be kind of new, especially like looking at the all jet black RoboCop. Mm-hmm. I liked the original film, the original first RoboCop. The second one, yeah. I remember vaguely, and the third one, I remember was just crap. to put it lightly. So it's interesting to see them reboot such an iconic franchise, but also keep a lot of the aspects of the original kind of intact, just updating it. So, because let's face it, the original was hokey as all hell, but it was good.
Yeah.
It was just, it had a lot of 80s cheese to it because of the state of animation and CG at the time was not up to par. That's, it's like comparing, I'm trying to think of that Arnold movie that they, Total Recall,
yeah.
Where they, you know, a lot of the effects in that were 80s cheese compared to what they did in the recent one. Granted, nothing ever compares to the original when it's remade.
No, yeah. When I went back and watched RoboCop 1 specifically, and this may be a future MWire episode, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know, but we now live in an age since about, I would say the last 14, 15 years, since about 2000, we now live in an age where the line is blurred between what is PG-13 and what is rated R.
Well, it seems like It seems like a lot of the stuff that should be rated R is rated PG-13, but it's just barely PG-13 because they're trying to get that rating.
Right, and it's one of those things where...
It's like, just make it rated R.
Well, it's one of those things now where it's like, I'll see a trailer for something, and I'm thinking, okay, that's got to be a rated R film. And then it'll come up saying, oh, it's PG-13. And I'm thinking, we live in a PG-13 world at this point. And because of that, because everything nowadays is that rating, when I go back, the only rated R film that I go back and watch that came out in the 80s that doesn't surprise me that it's rated R is the Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2. Same thing with Lethal Weapon. Doesn't surprise me that it's rated R. Same thing with Die Hard. Doesn't surprise me that it's rated R. When I went back and watched RoboCop 1, I forgot how violent that movie is.
But it was so great.
It was. I'm not saying... I just forgot how violent it was, and I just... When the Ed 209 snaps that guy's neck in the beginning, I was like, oh, okay, I'm done. I just... There are certain aspects of film violence that I can take, and there are other aspects of it that I just can't, and that was kind of one of them.
I'm immune to that. I don't like graphic violence as far as like beating children and women and that kind of stuff, but but I can deal with somebody getting their head popped off or snapped in two or crunched or whatever. It doesn't bother me.
All right, so the other thing in February that I wanted to kind of talk about is something I'm not anticipating. It's something that I will most likely wait to see. It didn't make my list because the only reason why I really want to see it is I want to find enjoyment in the Will Arnett Batman voice. But the Lego Movie, I am so sick of hearing about this movie.
So was it awesome? I was going to interrupt you because I had a feeling that's what it was, but I was like, but was it awesome?
No, I haven't even seen, it's one of those things where everybody is talking about it. And every time I see a trailer for it, it just, if it was Lego superheroes, like DC heroes, Marvel heroes, whatever.
The DC heroes.
I know they have, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if it was a Lego Batman live, you know, not live action, but Lego Batman silver screen movie, I'd probably be all for it. But I just can't get into it. I haven't been able to get into Legos in at least 26 years. It's just not my thing anymore. And it, you know, great. You know, for people that have kids that want to take their kids to it, I know Michael Wilson took his boys to it, and saw it, and he liked it for the most part. I know he has a issue with the end message in the film, but I don't know. Is there anything else in February that you're interested in?
Well, I know that I want to see that movie.
Yeah.
I love Legos. And then that addition of superheroes and Ninja Turtles and stuff like that just kind of makes me want to see it more.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, in addition to having like Will Arnett's voice as Batman and having Chris Pratt as the lead guy that goes, "Awesome, awesome," which that's annoying to me in the commercials, but I digress. They have Liam Neeson and Morgan Freeman in it. Will Ferrell, I don't know, but I can almost guarantee he's the villain. Just because I haven't heard it yet, but it's just me guessing. Yeah, it is. I just read it. it's one of those movies that's just kind of interesting to me. And it, again, this is probably the only animated film of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be one of those ones that kind of resonates well with kids and families, because there's not really anything kid friendly that's coming out this year. So,
well, there kind of is. We'll talk a little bit about that in March, but
yeah, oh yeah, okay, yeah. There's two other ones, but still.
Anything else in February that you're interested in?
No, the only other thing that kind of got slipped over was from last month, which was January, is I, Frankenstein. I know that it's going to be a travesty and a train wreck. I have not seen it. It looks like it's a travesty and a train wreck, but it looks like an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
So it has me interested in that way, even though a lot of one of the people and some of the concepts are kind of tied with the style of Underworld, so it's I know what I'm going to get, basically. Mm-hmm. And it's Lionsgate, so they're, you know, good at playing the horror kind of thing. So it's one of those ones that'll be more so like a guilty pleasure type action film, but I don't think it'll be good. I just think it'll be entertaining.
Mm. Interesting. March for me has two that I'm interested in. And those are something I've been waiting years for. I've been waiting and wanting a Need for Speed film forever. Because that game franchise, I don't care if you like it, hate it, whatever. A lot of those games in that game franchise, specifically the Most Wanted titles and the titles that have you racing from the cops, or the titles that have you being a cop and catching the cars, have always been really great. So on March 14th, we have Need for Speed coming out, starring Aaron Paul, who played Jesse from Breaking Bad. You know, I've talked about this on a couple of the other shows, that I'm not a big fan of Breaking Bad. I sat through all five seasons of it, and for the most time, I was bored as hell. But I will say, Aaron Paul, amazing actor, and I can't wait to see what he does outside of the Breaking Bad universe and Need for Speed. It's about time we had a movie for that film, film for that game series.
I can't say I'm surprised that they finally did it.
And I've been hearing a lot of people say, oh, it's just a Fast and the Furious ripoff and this, that, and the other thing and everything else. Sure, it's Fast and the Furious came first in film, but I mean, come on, this is Need for Speed, people. It's a movie that's designed to enthrill the people that love the game franchise. Need for Speed is not a movie that you're going to expect to make $1 billion. It's not a movie you're going to expect to make those high numbers. It's one of those, at least for me, it's one of those feel-good movies that you can go to and you can see a game franchise that you liked or enjoyed or loved come to life on the big screen. That's what Need for Speed is for me. And then the other one for me, of course, is Muppets Most Wanted.
That one has me interested just because I love the Muppets.
Yeah.
And and the new concept that's going to be, you know, of, oh, the evil version of Kermit.
Yeah.
And if you notice in the poster, he's got his pinky up to his mouth, kind of like Dr. Evil.
Yeah. Ever since they released the Muppets in 2011 with Jason Segel and Amy Adams, I'm so glad the Muppets are back in the spotlight. I'm so glad. I know a lot of people kind of hesitated when Disney bought them, but I'm so glad that they did and that they are actively putting out really good. I can't say really good because we don't know what all of Muppets Most Wanted entails, but it's a Muppet movie. Of course it's going to be really good. I'm just not thrilled with the casting choices for the humans in the movie.
And it could turn out to be fine.
Yeah, it could. But I'll say this right now. I'm no Ricky Gervais fan at all. I don't like that guy. I don't like his comedy styles. He's just not my type of actor that I could see in a Muppet movie. But at the same time, I'm still going to stay open-minded because I want to see the Muppets themselves.
The only thing I like that guy in is The Night in the Museum, The Invention of Lying, and Ghost Town.
Anything else in March you're interested in seeing?
Of course, the Muppets, like we've mentioned. I'm kind of interested to see the Mr. Peabody and Sherman, even though I almost feel it's one of those franchises that should not be, or not franchise, but series that should not be revived.
Yeah.
Because eventually, especially with DreamWorks and Fox, they're going to beat it like a dead horse. I have a feeling this is going to be the new Ice Age. I really do. I don't want to say that because, granted, our parents grew up with this. Yes. So they're all like, blasphemy, when they see it now, like the notice that it's coming out. I think it'll be good, don't get me wrong, but I also see this very fast kind of going to become another Ice Age. They're going to, we got to go to this trip to do this. Oh, we got to go do this. And it would serve a better purpose to be on TV.
Yeah.
I understand, having the first film in theater, but I almost bet that they're going to pull an Ice Age with it.
You know what? I almost bet they're going to pull a How to Train Your Dragon with it. That's what I'm betting.
Well, there's only been two of those, so.
Well, right, but listen, okay? How to Train Your Dragon came out when? 2010? 2000? I don't even remember when.
New one comes out this year.
Right, the new one comes out this year, yes. But what I'm saying is, what I think DreamWorks is going to do with Mr. Peabody and Sherman, is they're going to make the first movie here in, they're going to release it here in 2014. And then sometime next year or the year after, they're going to put an animated series on Cartoon Network or Nickelodeon or something. And then 4 or 5 years down the line, they're going to make a sequel. Because that's kind of what they're doing with How to Train Your Dragon. There was the first film.
Kind of like Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, there was the first film. And then, was it last year or 2012, where How to Train Your Dragon, Riders of Berk came out. And it's the animated series following the film's characters and all this and all that. So that's what I think what DreamWorks is going to do with it.
Well, it makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. I'm like you, though. I don't think it needs to be remade. I think a lot of these... What animation studios, any animation studio, film studio needs to do now, give us new concepts. Even if you use the same old storylines, give us new characters with that story. And I know I'm saying this, and people are going to be looking at me and pointing at Brave and say, hey, these are new characters, but it's the same old story. It's one of those things where Mr. Peabody and Sherman on the old Rocky... were they on Rocky and Bullwinkle? I think they...
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, they were on Rocky and Bullwinkle. That was awesome. Watching those reruns in the 80s for me was awesome. and learning from them at the time, and it's supposed to be fun. And I get that they're trying to reinvent these characters for the next generation,
which makes sense.
Yeah, but as an adult, I'd rather have them do something original, I guess.
But you know, never know. Maybe kids will get a kick out of it.
Yeah. Is that it for March?
No, actually, I'm kind of interested about Sabotage, even though I think, again, that's going to be another guilty pleasure action movie. And I'm kind of a huge Arnold Schwarzenegger fan, even though most of his movies in the last 10, 15 years have been crap. you know, give or take. I mean, The Escape Plan was pretty good, but I think it's going to be just bad, but it'll be entertaining. Not really going to go too much into detail, but it'll be one of those ones that I rent.
It's got Terrence Howard in it, too.
Yeah, he's a nobody wow. since he blew off Iron Man. That was a real winner move. I'm going to go do a musical. Yeah, look what that did for your career. Should have been Rhodey. Sorry. You looked the part, but yeah.
Don Cheadle does it better.
Anyway. Oh, he does it so much better. He's such a better actor and has better class with playing that character.
Oh, yeah.
He's such a badass, but I digress.
All right. April for 2014. I'm looking here and looking here. I only see one.
I see two.
Two? What are your... Okay, one for me is Captain America.
Yeah, that's my one.
What's your other one?
My other one is Transcendence.
Okay.
It's the one with Johnny Depp where he's the researcher of artificial intelligence and they create the sentient machine, almost Skynet, and create it with full range of human emotions. And somebody believes, oh, it's evil, blah, blah, blah. So they shoot him with a... like plutonium laced bullet so that it basically poisons him to death and there's no saving him, and they plug him into the computer and download him into the computer. So he essentially becomes the sentient machine controlling every electronic thing on the planet. It looks pretty freaking twisted if you watch the trailer. So I see a lot of potential with this.
I'm no Johnny Depp fan. I'm really not. No. I'm not a fan of his, but looking at the rest of the cast and listening to your description of it, it does have me intrigued. But looking at the rest of the cast, all I can see is you have Captain Jack Sparrow teaming up with Jarvis, teaming up with Lucius Fox. Yeah. Teaming up with Lucius Fox, teaming up with... Cole Hauser, who was he in, Too Fast, Too Furious, the villain in Too Fast, Too Furious, and then Cillian Murphy is Edward Dillinger Jr. from Tron Legacy.
A.K.A. Scarecrow. Well, Cole Hauser, he was in,
Good Will Hunting.
No, it's the other Paparazzi.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
I knew he looked familiar, the name.
Yeah. But he was also... He actually, the first time I ever saw him, he's one of Will's friends in Good Will Hunting.
Ah.
He's the fourth guy. It's Will, Chucky, Morgan. Chucky and Morgan are the brothers, Ben and Casey. And then the other guy is Cole Hauser. But yeah, no, now that I look at this, it might be something I check out because it does kind of look really cool. The other one, of course, is Marvel's next films in the Phase 2 of Marvel Cinematic Universe, Captain America: The Winter Soldier. I'm so excited for this movie. If you told me 10 years ago, oh yeah, you're going to like Captain America here pretty soon, I'd have laughed in your face, but... Because Cap has never really been... That he's never been a character that I had really looked up to. I mean, Captain America, at least in my eyes, and I know this isn't exactly right with his power set versus who I'm going to compare him to, Captain America to me is the Superman of the Marvel Universe. I know he can't fly, but he does have super strength and he, you know, all this and all that. But I just never, Cap was just never one of those heroes that I really found all that interesting to follow. But since Chris Evans has taken the reins, and since the first film, since his appearance in Avengers, inside this Marvel Universe, I'm really loving the Captain America movies. I can't wait for Winter Soldier.
I enjoyed the first one, actually. Out of the Marvel films, the characters I more so care about, I've never liked Thor.
Yeah,
never liked Thor. I'm not saying that it's not good movies or whatever, or good acting, because it's far from it, but I dislike the character. Captain America is one of those ones that I wasn't sure if I was going to like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to agree, Chris Evans kind of knocks it out of the park, and then plus this film, you have a lot of star power. You have, you know, him playing Captain America, you have Scarlett Johansson as the Black Widow, you have Sam Jackson as Nick Fury, you have Robert Redford, you have, you know, Colby Smulders playing in there again, you got Hayley Atwell, Emily Van Camp from Revenge. So, I mean, you've got a lot of star power in this. And and in just the plot alone, it leads directly into Avengers 2.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, it's the one thing I have to give Marvel is their overarching storylines, even with having separated stories that could still stand on their own, they still have a cohesive ability to tie into the main franchise of the Avengers, but also tie into each other.
Yeah, yeah. It's very, very well done. Anything else in April that you're interested in?
Nope, those were my two.
All right. Let's see here. What do we got coming up in May for this year?
Well, it's kind of amazing, but that's just... But I'm not sure how amazing.
No. It's extraordinarily amazing.
I wouldn't go that far, because look at the writers.
Wait. No. I was combining X-Men and Spider-Man. Yeah.
I know.
You know what? Seriously, outside of giant Michael Bay robot writing duty that they hardly probably ever do, I like them.
They botched Star Trek too, so that's I'm not giving them any leeway. They touch a franchise that dies.
Not according to all the rumors surrounding Amazing Spider-Man, because they've got third, fourth, I mean, they're already planning for 3, 4, and 5.
Well, the funny thing is that's only if the actor that's playing Spider-Man wants to play him that long.
That's true.
So, I know that they're going to do a villains movie, but how's that going to work with no Spider-Man?
I don't know. It worked for DC when they did Villains Month with absolutely no heroes in the books.
It's books. You can't do a whole film without...
I know.
But...
Hey, maybe Sony will bring in that idiot Kick-Ass and have him destroy the Marvel Universe villains.
By shooting them in the head?
Yeah, I hate those movies.
I think they're funny, but... Colonel Stars and Stripes.
All right, so, you know, Amazing Spider-Man 2. What I've loved about this new version of Spider-Man that they're doing is every time that I've seen, like, a teaser trailer, it's basically Spider-Man inside Mirror's Edge. Have you ever seen the trailer or any gameplay for Mirror's Edge?
No, unfortunately.
It's basically first-person... jumping, swinging, attack. It's all first person, like you are in the game. And that first teaser for this franchise was like that. It was Spidey swinging, but it was him swinging kind of like you would follow Donkey Kong.
Nice.
It's kind of like when you follow Donkey Kong as a third person behind Donkey Kong swinging, but in this case, it's basically first person. So you see Spidey throwing the webs, but you don't actually see him. You just see where he's going. And I really like that about this franchise. I will say that right off the bat, I do know that Amazing 2, it seems as if they're packing a little too much into it again, like what they did with Spider-Man 3. I'm not saying Amazing 2 is going to be a Spider-Man 3, but you put more than one or two villains in there, you're really going to bite yourself in the ass.
But they did it well in The Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises.
I agree.
So, I mean, it could work depending on how they play their cards. Because they usually had 2 to 3 villains per film. And that was the first time in, like, comics that it's actually kind of panned out. So maybe they'll have learned, you know, have watched and learned from what Nolan did and be able to figure out a way to make it cohesive in that sense. Because you have, you know, the Rhino, you have Electro, you have, you know, Green Goblin, and then you have Oscorp with Norman Osborn. So, I mean, it's gonna be a crazy running twist for the film. And then, of course, they've already led up to what some of the third's gonna be with Venom and Doc Ock and Vulture. You know, having Venom in the third movie in both franchises is spelling doom.
I don't know.
Venom on Doc Ock? Venom Ock?
Oh my god.
It's a thought.
Yeah.
Oh no, Doc Ock's gonna take over Peter Parker's body. Oh shit.
Hey, you know what? If they were to go that route, I would buy it. And I would love the movies even more. If they're going to go the superior route, that would be awesome.
But it's going to be amazing, not superior.
Yes,
so.
I know.
I think we'd beat this with a stick.
All right. There's only two other ones in May that I'm interested in. One is, I'm going to talk about the one that I'm more, not the most interested in, but one I'm really looking forward to is... Angelina Jolie as Maleficent. It puts a spin and a twist on the Sleeping Beauty tale. And I generally don't mind them bringing some of the classic Disney animated villains to live action. Glenn Close did a fairly good job as Cruella de Vil in the first 101 Dalmatians. 102 Dalmatians was a little much, but I think Angelina Jolie as Maleficent is the best female villain Disney has.
I was gonna make a small joke on your 101 Dalmatians, 102 Dalmatians. That's just one damn dog too many. But I agree with you though.
I mean, the trailer looks great, the plot looks really cool, and then of course there's the combining of casts, X-Men Days of Futures Past. I am really looking forward to this. I'm glad that they've gotten almost everyone back from the original three trilogies. Or the original trilogy.
I think they have everyone but Jean and Cyclops.
Well, Cyclops died, so I don't know how they're gonna explain that, but I'm trying to see here. Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen, Hugh Jackman, Halle Berry, Sean Ashmore.
I don't see the names of the ones that were.
No. I don't see it either, so... But I am really looking forward to this because, say what you will about X-Men Origins, and it's not a good movie. It's a Wolverine-centric movie, and I like Wolverine. I like Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Oh, definitely.
If he ever decides to stop playing that role... I don't know who they could even find to fill his shoes, because he's been playing that role for 15 years at this point, 2000, you know, in the first X-Men film, and he, to me, is the on-screen Wolverine, unless they find someone better or someone that somewhat matches him a little bit. But I'm so stoked for this movie, and like I was saying, you know, say what you will about X-Men Origins, I still enjoy him for that movie. for telling some sort of Wolverine story. And I really liked The Wolverine. I thought that was a really cool movie. And as long as Hugh's willing to play the role, as long as they find Wolverine stories that you know, appeal to him, I'm all for that. But Days of Futures Past, so glad that they're adapting it.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I'm looking forward to that film. I think it's going to be really good. I look forward to seeing what they're going to do with it. Because it's as much information as we've learned from it, it's still very cryptic.
Yeah. All right. Anything else in May for you?
Yeah, actually. I think, and granted, these, you know, one of these two I'm going to end up seeing in theater, but I think Godzilla will be interesting. I'm not a huge fan of Godzilla. I've never been a huge fan of it. I just, based on how terrible the Matthew Broderick one was, I'm looking to see, because this actually looks like it's halfway decent.
Yeah, I don't know how Ferris Bueller can have a bad movie, but apparently he did.
Yeah. It was a pretty bad movie. But anyways, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what they're going to do with this version of Godzilla. I know that he's supposed to be bigger yet than any of the previous ones, but by size scale. But I know it's going to be just exactly a Godzilla movie, but it's still... I wonder how this is going to work.
Mm.
How they're going to explain it, more or less.
Yeah.
The other movie I have is Blended.
Hmm.
It is an Adam Sandler movie.
No wonder.
Yeah. The funny thing is this is the third time he's worked with this female.
Drew Barrymore?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's, I might have to actually see this now.
And it's one of the main reasons that it caught my radar, is because those two together actually work really well. And then you have, you know, Joel McHale from, you know, Community. You have Kevin Nealon, who used to be on Saturday Night Live. Terry Crews, who is in a lot of Adam Sandler's movies. And he was in that recent Muppets commercial for the car. It's mm-hmm. Singing vegetables and chickens. That guy's actually from Flint.
That's scary.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. then you have like Bella Thorne, who's from the Shake It Up on Disney
Channel.
Yeah. Those are really the only names that caught my attention. But it's supposed to be the two of them are this is after a disastrous blind date. The single parents, which are Barrymore and Sandler, agree on only one thing: they never want to see each other again. It's at the beginning, before any of this stuff takes place, and then they each sign up separately for a fabulous family vacation with their kids. And it says they're all stuck sharing a suite at the luxurious African safari resort. The location's a little odd to me, just because I don't know how comedic it's actually going to be. But who knows? It'll be interesting, only because the two of them are working together again, but I don't think it's going to be a great movie.
Yeah.
But it might be better than some he did last year, so who knows?
Yeah, I find, and some film buffs that may listen to this might find this insulting, but I find now that I know that this is their third pairing, that they are basically this generation's, or, you know, mid-90s to now, the last 20 years, they are what Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks were back in the 80s. And then obviously, because it seems to me these two, Barrymore and Sandler, are working together in three different films, and they play kind of romantic leads each time, reminds me of Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks being in Sleepless in Seattle, and then You've Got Mail, and I know they were in something else together as romantic people, but it just, I don't know. This one I'm interested in, now that you pointed it out to me, but it's probably not one I'd see in theaters. It's probably one I'd see on Redbox.
Like I said, it kind of depends. I don't know how how well it's going to play out, but definitely interesting. But that ends my run for that month.
And then in June, we have... probably another one of the comedies you'll go see, or one of the comedies you'll at least attempt to rent or something. 21 Jump Street 2, because I refuse to call it 22 Jump Street. That's just dumb.
Well, did you see the trailer?
No.
The reason why they're calling it 22 Jump Street is because they said that the Asians or Arabs or somebody, it was an insulting joke. They wanted that building back. So they moved him across the street to 22 Jump Street into the building. And you know how they played that little parody in 21 Jump Street? Yeah, this is the department's way of rehashing an old 80s division, you know. Well, they said, well, it turns out that, it made enough money to come back again and blah, blah, blah. And so and then we got kicked out, so we had to move to 22 Jump Street and... You know, it's they come up with it was in the trailer. It's actually funny, but I think it's the funniest part of the movie is that whole entanglement there. But it's got, you know, of course, the two, you know, Jonah Hill, Channing Tatum, and then you get Ice Cube back in it again. But it could be all right. I'm not. And they're bringing back like pretty much all the cast, like all the bad cast from the first movie. That are locked up in jail for a reason. So it's going to be funny. But it's one of those ones I'll probably wait for, but it looks funny.
Yes. And then we have Optimus Prime riding Grimlock.
I hold Silver away.
I will say, at least based on the ComingSoon.net listing here, I'm so glad Michael Bay did not go become a 3D whore. Because it says it's listed as 2D theaters and IMAX. So, Transformers 4, Age of Extinction. I've stayed away from all kinds of news about this movie. Yes, I know Mark Wahlberg is in it instead of Shia LaBeouf. Thank God somebody else is in it.
Well, he's more so playing like the Josh Duhamel role, but it's not going to be like all military stuff. He's going to be, you know, the dad, and then you know, you have the two kids, which are like the replacement for Megan Fox and Shia. But I think that they more so fit the normal everyday look of people, all three of them, so it fits more. It looks more natural, whereas Shia just he was a hot commodity at the time, I guess, so whatever, but I don't think he fit the films. And then Megan Fox was entirely too hot to be in those films.
She was practically melting.
Yeah, it was distracting just because of the fact that she looked out of place, whereas the girl that they have casted for this one looks like she fits in the, you know, she's very, very pretty, but she's not like to the point she's distracting.
And the other thing, and not to really get on a rant here, but the other thing about Megan Fox is I noticed when rewatching, I think it's Dark of the Moon.
She's not in Dark of the Moon.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's not. It's in Revenge of the Fallen. When they have to make a break for Optimus, and they're running across the desert, and they hide in this little building.
It takes them an hour.
Yeah, but she puts her hands over her mouth so she won't scream. And her hands look like they're four times the size of her face. And all as I can think of is that Seinfeld episode. Oh my God, she has man hands. All right. Anything else in June that you're interested in?
Well, obviously Transformers, but...
yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with this, because this film... I have a lot more hope for it than I did the previous two.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I didn't like the third one, but I think one's going to be better.
The
other one that I'm kind of interested in is Edge of Tomorrow. It's Tom Cruise. Normally, I don't go for a Tom Cruise movie because he does a lot of the same crap, and I just get tired of seeing it. It's not that they aren't good, because usually there's a Morgan Freeman or somebody that's in it that is the saving grace.
Yeah.
But it's... this one only has my attention because it's a future where an alien race is basically destroying the crap out of the Earth, and he's playing an officer who's never seen a day of combat. And then they drop him in a suicide mission, and he's killed within minutes. And it says that he's thrown into a time loop, forcing him to live out the same brutal combat over and over, fighting and dying over and over. So it reminds me of Unreal Tournament. Because in their storyline, they have these respawners that, should they be killed in the games or in the battles, they just respawn and they come back from the dead and, you know, are brand new again and just continue the fight. So that, it kind of reminds me of that. So that's one reason why I'm intrigued about it. And then basically it's him and Emily Blunt going back and forth, because she's supposed to be a special forces warrior, kind of teaching him, and between the two of them, it you know, eventually they're going to win. It's just, it's a lot of trial and error of learning what to do, what not to do, and eventually they are going to kick ass. But it just, it looks interesting only for that plot device.
So for July, there's very little.
One film.
You can go.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. That's the only movie I remember. The originals. The originals were good. The new ones are pretty good. I'm interested to see what they do. You have Andy Serkis, Gollum, playing Caesar again. You have Commissioner Gordon back in this one. Or not back, but he's in this one. It's basically a giant war between the humans and apes. But it's not like this stuff hasn't been done before. It's just a modern continuation of the previous film. So it'll be a DVD watch for me. I don't really foresee going to see it in theater.
The only time I found any kind of reference to any of the Planet of the Apes movies funny is, oh, look, the humans coming out of the maid's nose. The end of Spaceballs. I'm just not into those movies. I just can't. I've never been able to get into them. And July, I'm really surprised that July does not have a lot more in it this year. Sure, there's Planes, Fire, and Rescue, and I don't want to even start that whole debate of, oh, it's a Cars ripoff, or oh, blah, blah. I don't even care. It does have Hercules that month, but I'm just not interested in Hercules. I will say I did look up one on here called Sex Tape, and I only looked it up because every single celebrity that has been on the news or in the news in the last 20 years has done a damn sex tape. The plot summary here, it stars Jason Segel and Cameron Diaz.
Not surprising.
Rob Lowe, Ellie Kemper. The plot has a suburban married couple, Annie and Jay, accidentally losing a sex tape they made to reinvigorate their love life. Annie, a parenting blogger, leads the charge to recover it. So it's not something I'm going to see in theaters, but I only clicked on it because all as I can think of is, oh my God, Kim Kardashian lost her friggin' sex tape again. On to August.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people, you included, are like, oh, stop being so anal retentive with the numbers and the dates and this, that, and the other thing, everything else. It almost makes more, I know it doesn't make more sense marketing-wise to me, but it would make more sense this year if Age of Extinction was coming out August 8th, which is the 30th anniversary of the G1 cartoon premiere. But for August, I've got one. And it is, I'm gonna say this right because I'm so sick of how people say this, but I'm gonna say this right. It is Jonathan Libsman's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because I'm sorry, Michael Bay is not fucking directing this movie, people. Stop calling it Michael Bay's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yes, he is producing it. Yes, producers have a lot of, you know, pull and weight, but he's not the director of the damn movie. That being said, I'm interested to see what they're doing with it and what they're gonna do with it. I loathe the fact that Megan Fox is in this movie. I don't care if she plays a good April O'Neil or not. I absolutely love the casting of William Fichtner as Shredder. I think that's great casting.
I'm kind of enthused about that as well.
Yeah, the voices for the turtles, if it's going to be done the way the 90 film was done, where you have someone in the suit and someone else do the voice, if that's the way they're doing it this time around, which I don't know if it is or not, I'm not looking up any specific detail that it is that, I would rather have someone I know that knows the character voicing it than some unknowns doing it. I just would. I don't know.
No, I'm with you. Makes sense.
Thoughts on Turtles? Any other
different thoughts on Turtles? I'm interested, but disinterested. Only because I'm not a fan of... And this is probably just me being critical. I'm not going to lie. I have no hope whatsoever as far as the cast is concerned. Other than the Shredder.
Star Wars Episode 7, no hope.
No, Star Wars Episode 7, there is no hope. Yeah. Or as Yoda would say, no hope, no hope there is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I lied. There is one other one coming out in August that I'm interested in. Because I like what they're doing with the franchise now. I've liked the first two films with this franchise. And it's basically bringing back the classic 80s action star, and basically the Expendables franchise to me at this point is basically 80s action for today's audiences. It's taking all these stars, you know, Sly Stallone, Bruce Willis, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jean-Claude Van Damme. It's taking all of those guys and actually making them relevant again in the genre that we most remember them in.
They're relevant?
Dude, you know what I mean.
I know.
And this one, the new cast, has the new cast members, Wesley Snipes, Antonio oh my god, you've got puss in there.
That's what she said. Sorry, you left that open.
Pray for mercy from Puss in Boots. So you've got Antonio Banderas, Mel Gibson, Harrison. Oh my God, Harrison. How is Han Solo going to be in this movie? Oh my God. Well, anything's better than Ender's Game. Oh my God. They've got Kelsey Grammer in this movie. I don't know why, but all as I can see is Beast from X-Men 3. But yeah, I'm really excited. And Expendables 3 probably isn't something I'm going to see in a theater. It's probably something I'm gonna really get as soon as it hits Redbox, but I'm still excited for it.
Yeah. I'm not making...
He said unenthusiastically.
Yes. Yes.
Anything else in August?
Other than that, the one that has me kind of intrigued is, and this is mostly because my wife likes the book, it's called The Giver. She's read the book. We actually went and saw a play of it somewhere locally. It's won an award at some point. In 94, Jeff Bridges is in it. It's got Meryl Streep, Katie Holmes, and then unfortunately Taylor Swift. The girl who sings one tune.
For a second there, I thought you were going to say Tara Reid. I'm like, she's relevant again?
No. It's the other white meat, but
wow.
I'm gonna let you finish, but
send all hate mail to Steve at geekcastradio.com.
I don't care. I freaking hate Taylor Swift. Like, we listen to the radio at work every day, and she plays on there all the time, and then she sings this same freaking tune on every damn song. She doesn't know how to sing anything else, so she bothers me whenever I hear her name pop up. And she's not an actress, she's a singer. Like, she's purely, like, she had money. That's how she got into it. But whatever. I'm getting off that soapbox. So, yeah, The Expendables 3, though, I'm a little bit interested. I'll probably end up seeing it, being that I still have to watch the first two. But I like the fact that, you know, it's got all the old guys back.
Yeah.
Onward.
September has pretty much zero for me. I know everyone's making a big deal out of this, the Box Trolls movie. But as I said at the beginning of the show, none of the animated stuff this year is impressing me. And I just don't like the... It has nothing to do with the plot of the movie. It's just I don't like the animation style is really the only reason why I'm probably not going to see it at all. So on to Halloween. What do we have in October? Let's see. October 3rd, Gone Girl. I'm really interested in Gone Girl to see that because it is... coming soon. There we go. It is Ben Affleck... Rosamund Pike, Neil Patrick Harris, Tyler Perry. Damn it, it just went downhill. it's based on the novel by Gillian Flynn, and it's basically just describing the novel, so this isn't really a... I don't know if it's... I assume it's going to follow the actual the novel plot, but it's Ben Affleck in on a warm summer morning in North Carthage, Missouri, it's Nick and Amy's fifth wedding anniversary. Presents are being wrapped and reservations are being made when Nick Dunn's clever and beautiful wife disappears from their rented mansion on the Mississippi River. Husband of the year, Nick Dunn isn't doing himself any favors with cringeworthy daydreams about slope and shape of his wife's head, but hearing from Amy through flashbacks in her diary reveal... The perky perfectionist could have put anyone dangerously on edge. It's Ben Affleck. It's
Affleck.
Affleck. Gone Girl to me is like, have you ever seen Gone Baby Gone?
No.
You've never seen Gone Baby Gone?
Nope.
With Casey? Yeah. Whoa. Nope. Okay. Well, that's your homework for next time. but that's October so far, unless studios start announcing other stuff for October, that's the only one in October I'm interested in. What about you? Anything on October?
No. Nope.
Yeah, no. This year, like I said, unless we get further down, I mean, this is only early to mid-February that we're doing this episode, so unless... You know, down the line, more things get announced. So far, the end of the year is looking kind of horrid. Yeah. For November, everyone keeps telling me about this film, Big Hero 6, and it's done by Walt Disney Animation. It stars... It's not available. From Walt Disney Animation Studios comes Big Hero 6, an action comedy adventure about brilliant robotics prodigy... Hero Hamada, who finds himself in the grips of a criminal plot that threatens to destroy the fast-paced, high-tech city of San Francisco? Oh, no, they did not just combine San Francisco and Tokyo.
Yep, they did.
Yeah, I don't have any.
That's you headbanging.
No, not with my new headphones on. I can't. If I wasn't wearing my new headphones, yes, I would be banging my head against my desk.
Bang head here.
Yes. Dumb and Dumber 2, I'm really looking forward to. So there is one good thing out of November. Hunger Games 3 or 4.
It's Hunger Games 3 Part 1.
Yeah.
let me go back to Dumb and Dumber 2.
Go ahead.
I'm excited for it because you have Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels returning. You don't have, you know, the Dumb and Dumber-er, which was crap. The only saving grace for that was the female lead. This one, not only did they manage to make them look just like they used to, albeit, you know, a little bit older, but you have, I have a feeling this is going to turn out to be one of those cult classic continuations for that series. I hope they don't do another one after this. I hope that this is just like a one hit, do you know, wham bam, done. Because I could see it working out really well. And this also marks the first time Jim Carrey's done a sequel since Ace Ventura 2.
Yeah.
I honestly would like to see him do an Ace Ventura 3 and then just call it good. I do. But, you know. But no, I mean, I'm very enthused about this film. And then Hunger...
I'm enthused about Dumb and Dumber 2, but I'm only enthused to see the further adventures of Lloyd and Harry.
Yeah, that's more plot, so.
Well, right, but the plot itself is nothing new. It's
long lost. I figured that.
Yeah, I'm more so interested for the comedy hijinks than anything else with Dumb and Dumber 2. What were you going to say about the
Hunger Games?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say that the thing that has me enthused about this is I have not read any of the books. My wife has read the books. The first film was good. Second film was amazingly good because it sets up for later on. Mm-hmm. The funny thing about this one is... shut up, cat. is you have all these, you know, great actors and actresses in it, and then you have, you know, you have...
Shut up, cat.
I know. I can't understand why Hollywood likes splitting the last book for a series. Like, they did it with Twilight. They did it with Harry Potter. They're doing it with The Hunger Games. Why are they splitting books that aren't even as big as the previous ones into two films?
I don't know, like, dude.
I find it so irritating. I don't know why. It just bothers me because, I mean, I can kind of get it because then they can kind of space things out a little bit better. But I kind of wish that they didn't. But regardless, I think this film, being that the second one wasn't as much action, it was action, but it wasn't. It was more so setting up for the rebellion. And this one is actually taking the rebellion and running with it. So, and it also is one of the, you know, one of the last films that Philip Seymour Hoffman did. Because he did part of part two, but they had to CG him in. But I'm looking forward to that, which I know we'll end up seeing in theater. My wife will make sure of it. And then, of course, there's Horrible Bosses 2.
I didn't see the first one, so I'm not
My god, dude. You have to see the first one. The first one is epic. You have Jason Bateman, Charlie Day, and Jason Sudeikis. They work jobs, and they're fed up with their bosses because they're just dickheads and, you know. So the second film, again, has those three, but they're working for themselves, except they have like a investor that's screwing with them. But it also has their bosses from the first film. Well, two of their bosses, but you have to watch the first one. Anyways, and then you have Jamie Foxx playing a character called Motherfucker Jones.
Oh my god.
And it's funny how they explain it in the first film. They're like, you know, what did you do? And how did you get that name? And then he explains it, and it's pretty funny. You get to see the first film. It's a lot of like hijinks and just mishaps, and then they got OnStar with some guy that's got a name that can't be pronounced, and so it's hilarious. You get to see the first one to understand why it's so good, and then the second film, I have high hopes for, even though it's going to be a lot of the same kind of thing. But I think that dynamic works.
And then in December... Oh, no.
Two films.
Please tell me they're not... Oh, yes, they
are. It's sequel season from November to December.
No, it's not even that. They are bringing to life... Paddington.
Really?
They're bringing to life Paddington Bear.
Why?
I don't know, but they are. I might see it eventually, but it's not an in-theater thing for me. So what are your two films?
Night at the Museum 3.
Uh-huh.
Because I like the previous two.
Uh-huh.
It has no information on what it's going to be about, so I'm wondering if this is speculative. Because I would think there'd at least be something. Because reprising their roles as Ben Stiller, Robin Williams, Owen Wilson, Ricky Gervais, and then you have Dan Stevens, Rebel Wilson, and Sir Ben Kingsley, which I'm guessing Kingsley will be the bad guy. Just makes sense. He always plays a bad guy. So
yeah,
I'm interested to see how that movie is going to be set up, or where they're going to be at, what museum, because Ben Stiller's character seems to move between them.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed the last two films, so I'm not going to be sad to see it come. But the other film that I'm looking forward to is Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
How did I know you were going to say that?
Because it's me.
Yeah,
it's got the same guys returning from the first film, other than
John Cusack.
Yep, he's the only one not returning. Even Chevy Chase, who is the hot tub time machine mechanic, is returning. So I think it's going to be funny. It's not one of those films I'm going to absolutely love and be able to watch a lot. It's going to be one of those ones that I can watch every now and again and enjoy it. Kind of like the first one, but yeah. I think it'll be good. I don't think it'll be like extravagantly good. I think it's gonna be shit, but it's gonna be entertaining.
Yeah, I saw the first one. It had some funny stuff. I like John Cusack as an actor, so that was appealing. You know,
that was the draw for me about that film.
Yeah, but the rest of it, it was just kind of. It felt like a cross between Wild Hogs and American Pie is what it felt like to me.
I think you nailed that right on the head.
I know, right?
That's what she said.
that's right.
But no, I definitely agree with you there. I think that that's definitely what it is.
So, in conclusion, my top ones, X-Men, Transformers, Spidey, Captain America, Need for Speed, The Muppets. Those are all ones that Turtles, if I hadn't said Turtles, Maleficent, Expendables 3, those are Gone Girl. Those are all ones I plan on seeing in theaters. The rest of the year just doesn't appeal to me the way that I thought it was going to. The fact that so far, out of everything that has been announced for animated films, I have zero interest in, really kind of shocks me.
I'm interested in Transformers 4, Dumb and Dumber 2, Hunger Games, Night at the Museum, Blended. Some of the other films, too, but I have a feeling that most of them are going to be DVD, like Redbox or whatever for me. But I do think that as much as we clamored last year that 2014 would be a crap year for movies, I do think there are a good selection of movies, but I find that there's a lot more, each year it seems like there's more geeky movies or things calling to like the 80s geeks with the Expendables or the nostalgia geeks for, you know, stupid comedies like Dumb and Dumber 2 or the sequel geeks for just about everything that's out there. And then you've got the comic films. So, I mean, it's there's plenty of stuff out there for any kind of geek, really.
Exactly. And we are going to go to a very, very short break, come back, and give you a preview of what's coming up next time on GeekCast Radio. We'll be back after this.
The world's greatest criminal has stolen the greatest treasures, escaped the greatest prisons, and he bears a strong resemblance to someone you know.
It's not easy being mean.
It's Constantine, the world's most dangerous frog.
Check this out!
Oh, look, it's Kermit!
Well, what did you do with Kermit?
There must be some mistake! I'm Kermit the Frog! I'm not Constantine.
You're going to be here a while.
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here.
Kermit the Frog here.
I am Kermit,
and now you guys have all the freedom you want.
What?
When do I do the indoor running of the bulls?
I can't watch.
Dominic, international tour manager.
Dominic, bad guy?
Bad G.
It's French.
Oh. My name will go down in history as greatest thief of all time.
You mean our names, right?
Of course. My name first. In spacebar, 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 your name.
Hit it, boys.
This spring.
Do you guys think that Kermit's been acting a little weird lately?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. He's never been more caring or devoted to me.
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
Ricky Gervais, Ty Burrell, and Tina Fey.
This is my car. It is illegal now for its massive size.
Plus, so many Hollywood stars. It'll leave you wanting more.
Yeah, no more.
Waka waka.
There's only one guy in this world who can save us. Only one frog who can restore order.
Let's get out of here.
Bring justice and set things right.
You are talking about Kermit, right?
CIA.
Interpol.
This is my travel badge. Here's my real badge.
You must have been looking at the wrong
badge. You were saying...
Muppets, Most Wanted.
Sigma!
I am not Constantine.
Lights out! Turn them back on, I can't see anything.
You'll have to wait till I'm like out of the hallway.
Everybody's feeling alright.
So let's say you're looking for a podcast of your favorite 80s comic books. G.I. Joe, Transformers, Ninja Turtles, He-Man, etc. Where are you going to go to find us?
Welcome to Star Joe's Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan.
And I'm Chuck. That's right, everybody. We're the Star Joes. We host a podcast called Star Joe's Podcast, where we talk about your favorite comic books, your favorite toys of all the 80s properties.
Star Wars, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Mask, Thundercats, Voltron, you name it, we cover it. If it's in the 80s, we'll cover it at some point.
Yeah, so what you want to do to find us, you can go to iTunes, you can go to www.starjoes.com.
And remember, the Force will be with you.
Because knowing us is half the battle.
Years ago, a little old man brought his little blue box to a junkyard, and now Doctor Who is a cultural phenomenon worldwide. Join the GeekCast Radio Network and Mark Who 42's Whoniverse as we review Doctor Who episodes past and present, discuss the Doctor's friends and enemies, see where the doctor's been, where he is, and where he's going. Sit back and grab a jelly baby and join Mark Who42's Hooniverse. It's the ride of this and every other lifetime.
Fantastic.
Allons-y!
Every day, I wake up knowing that the more people I try to save, the more enemies I will make. And it's just a matter of time before I face those with more power than I can overcome.
I'm so sorry, I'm late.
I had a traffic thing.
Did your traffic jam have anything to do with being, I don't know, shot at by machine guns?
Yeah. Oh, that was implied. That was implying that.
Peter Park. There he is, born.
You're gonna want to see this.
Oscorp.
Get you under surveillance.
Why?
Isn't that the question of the day?
There's something you're not telling me yet, May.
I once told you that secrets have a cost. The truth does, too.
My name is Richard Parker. I have discovered what Oscorp was going to use my research for. I have a responsibility to protect the world from what I know they're capable of.
What is all this?
The future.
We literally can change the world.
What about Peter?
Not everyone has a happy ending.
Bigger than you, Peter.
I made a choice.
This is my path.
Soon, everyone in the city will know how it feels to live in a world without power, without mercy, without Spider-Man.
All right, folks, we are back here on Geekcast Radio. Like I said, I have plans to give you guys at least, hopefully, 31 straight weeks of Geekcast Radio episodes. That's my goal for this year in 2014, the five-year anniversary of the network. Coming up next time, we've got an episode that I've been planning for a couple of years, actually. The idea has been festering around in my head. And it's basically, the title of the episode is Entertaining Paparazzi. The topic is basically how we receive and what kind of news content we receive nowadays. With the explosion of the internet over the last 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years, with, like, when I was a kid, news programs were local news, whether people were getting shot, burglaries, and then, hey, let's check in with the weather and sports. Or you had shows like Current Affair and Hard Copy. And nowadays you have, like, E! News, and you have Gawker, you have Kotaku, you have...
Kotaku.
It's what I said. You have all these online outlets. You have IGN, you have all these other things that it seems like to me that the news has become, oh, this person is cast in this role, or oh, this person is cast in this role, or oh, Tom Cruise is having Bill Cosby's baby, or oh, this is happening, or
Tom Cruise is having Bill Cosby's baby. That's freaking genius.
I know, right? It's just one of those things where the news to me has... the line between what real news is and what entertainment news is, it seems like entertainment is taking over what real news actually is. And the fact that there's Extra, there's Entertainment Tonight, like I said, there's E! News, there's so many different celebrity-type news shows now. So I kind of want to explore next time around in episode 59 how this kind of came about. How did we go from your standard news broadcast, like Peter Jennings reporting on the president's State of the Union back in the 80s, to, hey, the royal wedding, or hey, the royal baby, or hey, you know, Tom Cruise got sucked up and
the Scientologists ate his liver for breakfast.
Yeah. Tom Cruise got taken away by aliens and whatever else. And I'm not just saying Tom Cruise to pick on. It's any celebrity. So that's something that we're going to explore next time with Entertaining Paparazzi here on Geekcast Radio. Oh boy. But yeah, I have huge plans for this podcast. It will be coming back in full force. We will have a variety of different geek topics. It will still be general geek topics. But I kind of want to make it, you know, something that we haven't talked to death about, or something that you don't really think that could be talked about on a geek podcast. So we have a lot of different topics coming up. In episode 60, coming up in March, will be the reveal of the GCRN First Annual Awards. Go vote now, geekcastradio.com.
Yes, there's not much time to vote, so not much time left anyway.
Yes. Time runs out March 1st, people. Go vote.
Do it. Do it now.
Any other final words, sir?
No, I think that's about it. I think we pretty much nailed all the geeky films, and I think next time we'll end up covering that, and it'll be pretty fun doing that as well.
Yep. All right. Well, unleash the geek in you. Have a wonderful day, evening, afternoon, whenever you're listening to this. I am TFG and Mike with
Steve Megatron Phillips.
We will catch you next time.
Just listen to Geekcast Radio on the Geekcast Radio Network. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. First, visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on all of our different podcasts. Second, you can rate our show and leave us feedback in iTunes. Third, follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio. Fourth, become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradio. Call the voicemail line 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you are leaving the message for and your name. So until next time, unleash the geek in you.